Go to 2 Corinthians 8, and I want to start in verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Verse 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. That is your ministry, whatever that is. And by the way, we're going to talk about your ministry. What is your ministry in just a minute? That's, you know, what we're going to talk about. A lot of people come up with things that aren't in the Word of God. They just say, well, that's my ministry. Well, where did you get the instruction from God to do that? Well, the other churches are doing, therefore I just believe I'm in there too. Okay. But that's not how it works. He says, now therefore form the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. Now, and very important, if you have a ministry, God's interested. You know, I believe that there are different offices within the body of Christ, and there's different ministries. And just as I take preaching as one of my ministries, it's not the only ministry that I have, right? What other ministry might I have? Given to hospitality? Giving? How about leading a wife? That's a ministry, isn't it? You know, doing the proper, you know, huh? You weren't called to that ministry, amen. There's a few things we know about. That's not one of them. But there's different ministries. So there's not one aspect of any single person's ministry. But whatever God's called you to do, get on with it. Do it right. You know, the Bible talks about doing it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. You know, do your ministry the way that you would take. Listen, I'm not judging you, but God will. And all he's judging you for is the work in which he's called you to do. Then be as passionate about that as people say, well, you are passionate about preaching. You know why? It's my ministry. I want to get after it. I don't want to sit around and say, well, he didn't work very hard at this. He didn't study at all. He didn't work at memorizing scripture. He didn't try to, you know, do this or do that. He got after it. I don't want to go to my grave thinking, well, he just did just a partial job. There's a song by Matthew West called Going Through the Motions. I don't want to go through the motions. You shouldn't either. You know what? God's worthy of a full effort. Amen? You know, it's hard to get here, isn't it? It is hard to get here. It seems like Satan always gets involved when you try to go to the Lord. It doesn't matter what you do, boy. I mean, if Satan, he's just tinkering in the background all the time to keep and to stop us from serving the Lord. That's exactly right. And as you start to make a dent or make a forward motion, that's when he gets serious in his play game, and he would have anything to cause it to happen. But you know, the other aspect said, well, I've had people come up and say, well, if I had $1 million, I'd be really preaching the gospel, or I'd be doing this, or if I had $1,000, I'd give more, or if I had that. You know what? That's not how it works. Think about it. That's not how it works. Faith doesn't, listen, if your ministry is to operate on faith, now I'm going to use giving as an example, okay? So don't get mad at me, okay? Promise? Go like this. I say I promise. Most people, Larry likes how good I can make my circles. That's an artist thing. All right, so here's the deal. You got that much toward the house payment, and that much toward this, and that, and this, and that, and that, and then well, I'll have a little left over I can give to the Lord. And that's how most people think. After I pay all my bills, then I'll give what I have left. And that's not a ministry. I don't think, well, if I have some time left, I'll study. If I have time to do that. You know what? Listen, let me tell you what. The very first thing I think of when a check comes into our house is what part's the Lord's. Y'all understand? Right off the bat, what part's the Lord's? You know, He's worthy of all of it. Amen? It's all His anyway. Amen? I mean, that is, He is not trying to, listen to me very carefully. He's not trying to say, hey, you know, and if I had more, I'd give more. That's baloney. Your heart is set in the way it is. And the thing I want you to see is that it's worthy of some effort here. Look at verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath. And not according that he hath not. God wants you to do it with what you got. Whatever it is you got now, get going with it. You don't need any more. You're capable right where you are right now to serve the Lord in all the capacity you need to serve Him. There isn't anything you're lacking to do your ministry. Whether it's being a wife or a husband or a father. Or whatever it is that you're called to do, whether it's giving, whether you're a minister, whether you're whatever it is that God's called you to do, and we're going to get into those gifts in just a minute of what God's called men to do. But whatever it is, get on and do it. Don't say, "Well, if I had," you know. There's a guy named Greg Allen. And Greg Allen's crazy as a bitsy bug, you know, but we love him in the Lord. And he wants to preach. He didn't know where to preach. You know what he did? He bought him a camera and a whiteboard, and he's putting messages out on YouTube left and right and gathering people. You know, you got a desire, get after it. Don't tell me, hey, I'd probably do that if I had this, or I might do that if I had that. You know, listen, let me tell you what. You'll do it if it's your ministry. There ain't nobody going to stop you. You know, if your ministry's given, you're on your deathbed, you'll be given away. It's amazing. Hi, you guys. What a good-looking couple. 2 Corinthians 8. So, you know, if there be first a willing mind, what is it that you're willing to do for the Lord? And if you're willing to do it one time or 200 times or whatever you say, you know, I did a thing on vows years ago. And Larry told me I probably ought to preach on that again. But if you vow something for the Lord, then you better do it. He said it's better to not have a vow than to make a vow and not do it. Y'all understand? God said that. So whatever it is, you know, say, well, I'm going to preach. You better be preaching until you can't preach no more. If your ministry's given, give until you can't give anymore. If your ministry is loving your wife, love your wife. And on and on. Whatever the ministry is that God's given you. Say, well, Brother Barry, what would be the ministry? Well, let me tell you, there's some clarity in that. Go to Romans chapter 12. Go to Romans chapter 12. Some clarity here. I do not believe everybody has the office of giving. They're too stingy to be givers. Not everybody has the ministry of teaching. They're too lazy to read. God would never call a lazy reader to a ministry of reading and exhortation, do you think? I'd like to go home and, this is for Wayne, watch NASCAR. Well, then he ain't going to call Wayne to write a book. You guys can't hear Wayne mumbling in the background. I'm glad that room doesn't have a mic. We used to have a mic in that room, and that was dangerous. But the realization is that Wayne does have a ministry. And it was funny, Wayne wanted to put some things out on YouTube, and he didn't want a thing, so he got a thing on tithing on YouTube up that was really excellent. He had to go look up the verses, and it was great. You know? Well, you can't watch NASCARs and look up them verses. You know? The realization is that's what you've got to do. You got to get after your ministry. Go to Romans chapter 12. And I want to start in verse 1, a verse that's familiar to everybody in this room. But he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're not asking for something unreasonable. God's not asking for something that is just undoable. God is asking for what is reasonable in your life. And I think that's fair, isn't it? I mean, God isn't one of those gods that say, I want 90% of your time and 10% yours. He's saying, look, just give me what is reasonable here. He knows we've got to have some fun. That's why he put Alabama on football, you know, so we can have a little fun. And now Auburn, they're not having a lot of fun, you know, but the dogs are, you know, no, I'm not. But you all understand what I'm saying, and God understands we like to watch a little sports every now and then, amen? God knows we like to go play golf every once in a while. He's not opposed to that. He doesn't want to make you some hermit that's just a Bible-thumping, Bible-believing, bored. Nobody wants to even be around you. People say, why are you trying to make church fun? So you'll come. I want you to come. You that are on the internet, come visit once in a while. Hope your ministry's given. No. But, you know, we're asking not for unreasonableness. We're asking for a reasonable service. That's fair enough, isn't it? Reasonable's fair enough, isn't it? He's not asking for everything you got. Then he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Boy, that's hard to do. Amen. But to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the what? Measure of faith to do your ministry. Whatever that is, you don't have to wonder what to do. Listen, when God had called me to preach, I'm not kidding you. I got called to preach. I'm sitting there at a Kmart store as a Kmart manager. And the Lord said, Barry. And I said, yes, Lord, it's me. He said, I want you to preach. Not me, Lord. Call Larry. He's better than I am. No, none of that happened. But I had the urge, I had the want to. I had the desire to preach and to teach. And so I'm praying one morning, and it was like a Thursday or a Wednesday or a Thursday, I can't remember now. I'm sitting there praying, and I'm not kidding you, the phone rang as I prayed. Not because I prayed. I was just in prayer. I was really concerned about preaching. And it was Brother Kearney at the Star of Hope Mission in Houston, Texas. He said, I heard you want to preach. How did you get my number and how do you know me? Do you want to preach or not? I said, yes, sir, I'd like to preach. He said, I've got a spot open on Sunday morning if you'll come and preach it for me. So Brendan and I and the kids went down there. And it's a rescue mission. It's, you know, it's where the drunken bums, homeless bums go, where the drunks are. And the room was packed. Like in January, I don't know what, it was cool. So it was extra, you know, crowded. And I preached my heart out. And mixed of blacks and whites, they all smelt like vomit. The room smelt like booze. But I didn't think of myself more highly than I ought. I thought, man, I'm just like those kids. So I've been homeless myself. I know all about being homeless. Bum, I was a bum. I know what it feels like to be a bum. Not to pay my bills, not to pay attention. Mad at society. So I preached to those guys just like I'd preach to myself. Black lady was sitting right about where Norm was, and this room with 400, 500 people in this room. She stood up on her chair and she said, for the first time you've heard the gospel of the grace of God clearer than I've ever heard it in my life. Some guy about where Jim was sitting on the inside row with a beard filled with vomit and smelt like, said, Pastor, would you come and pray for me? He said, I need Jesus so bad it's unbelievable. And I bowed down with that stench, thinking that's what I smelt like before God, before I got saved. I don't know if that man ever got saved or not. Brother Kearney says, that's pretty good. He says, you want to preach regularly? I said, what would you have me to do? He said, we're getting ready to open a woman's center and we'd like a regular preacher on that. So Brenda and I would go where their homeless families were, where the whole families were put out living on the streets. Sometimes there were 10 or 15, and we met Brother Derek. Big old black guy, huge, like a wall, buddy. Had a scar across his neck where he'd been cut all the way through. His head almost was cut off. I started preaching, and Brother Kearney said, do you mind if Brother Derek sits in? I said, no, sir. Brother Derek ended up getting saved and fellowshipping with us. He loved the grace of God, but you know those families came through and left and came through, and we see different families. No one said, hey, Barry, you got to do something? Every opportunity I could find to preach, I was there. You want to preach? There are lots of opportunities. You know, there's lots of nursing homes that need somebody who will stand up and tell them the gospel and the grace of God. And you want to preach, there's a whole internet full of things you can do. And anybody stopping you, you know what's stopping you? Your fear. Yeah, you know? I mean, come on. You're stopping you. You're hindering the Lord. You've become the problem. And God wants you to... You know what? I believe God has called everyone in here that's saved a witness. When was the last time you really sat down and talked to someone about the Lord? I mean, really. I mean, sit down with the Bible and talk with them. I can tell you, the more you do it, the better you get. Isn't that true, Brother Jim?
Absolutely.
The more you start to try to show people, the more you'll have confidence in what you're saying. You know what? Most people don't even try to show people. People say, well, how did you get to memorizing Scripture? Well, I didn't sit down to memorize Scripture, although I can tell you that Brenda would print me up a verse every week on a 3x5 card, and I'd stick it on my window, and I would memorize that verse for that whole week. That's not where I memorized them. It was from showing thousands and thousands and thousands of people the gospel that brought me to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I wanted to do. It's all I still want to do. It's kind of fascinating, isn't it? What's your ministry? That's my ministry. What has God called you to do? You know what? You've got a great ministry. Something that will be told for all eternity. How is it going to sound? Think about it. Romans chapter 12. He has dealt to every man the measure of what? faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Are all going to be givers? No. Are all going to be ministers? Are all going to be exhorters? No. There are different ministries. Terry's doing a ministry. Tamara's doing a ministry. You know, that's as important of a ministry as me getting up here. Because the people on the internet couldn't even get it without Stan and Tamara and Deborah when she fills in Terry. And then we've got Wayne in the background. Couldn't get it done. And I couldn't get it done without you offering your money and your energy. I couldn't get it done. There's no way that I could accomplish that without you. We're all tied together and we're all in one body trying to do the same thing. It's amazing, actually. So we, verse 5, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member is one of another. We're tied together. I like the way that Ephesians says it. Go to Ephesians. Hold on here. We're going to turn right back. Go to Ephesians. I love this whole thing here. I'm going to read a few passages. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Read with me in verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. That's the idea. So Norm, getting started. If more Norm comes, more unity he's going to have. Right? You'll hear more. You'll get more. Same thing with Sterling and Renee. They're new. You know, if they'll sit there and be patient, they're going to learn what the faith is all about. That's what we're doing. And Larry already knows. So what is Larry sitting there? Well, he's helping fund it. We couldn't even have Renee or Sterling or Norm even show up had it not been for Larry. Renee, your salvation goes back to Larry. We wouldn't even have this. Deborah's going, mm-hmm. Thank God. Your faithfulness in your ministry is as important as my ministry is. He says, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. For what reason? That we henceforth be no more children, what? Tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of what? We're going to be steadfast. We're going to be established. You're going to know who your apostle is. Who's your apostle? How do you know? Huh? Yeah, but where? Romans 11, 13? Romans 15, 16? 7? 2 Timothy 1, 11? I mean, you ought to be steadfast in what you believe. I know that. Why? Hey, let me show you the chapter and verse. Rooted and grounded and established. Larry told me, I'll never remember any scriptures, but there he is, mouthing every scripture I go to now. Not anything new to him. He puts up with me so that somebody new like Jackie might get it. Or how about Miss Jean? Or how about Kevin? How about Carlton? Carlton, you love the grace of God, brother? You've been to a few conferences, you realize you don't have the best grace preacher, but you know what? He's heard the best grace message. Doesn't get any better than that. And all because Larry stuck. Isn't that amazing? One little peg would have stopped the whole thing. You don't think you're important? You don't think working the camera is important? You don't think giving is important? You don't think coming and sitting is important? It's interesting. Till we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine by the sly of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speak the truth in love. May grow up in him all things, which is the head, even Christ. Here's the verse that I wanted, verse 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which, what? Every joint supplieth. What? Every joint supplieth. You know who's part of that joint? You. You. According to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Man, that's powerful. Amen. You are important. You have a ministry. You are all ambassadors for Christ. We're all ambassadors. How are you representing the gospel? Are you afraid to talk it? Afraid it may cause you harm or damage? Yeah, I know Renee's not. You ought to see her Facebook thing, man. I'm like, praise the Lord, that little girl's on fire. Don't anybody get near a water hose. She's going. I don't know what brushing hell with a water bucket looks like, but she's got one. Hey, I'm on fire for the Lord. I've been saved 25 years. I'm still on fire. You know, I've seen a lot of people say, I'm on fire, I'm on fire. And a few days later, they're burned out like an old dud. Where's your stick-a-to-itiveness? I invented that word. I thought it was pretty good, too. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Stick-a-to-itiveness. I'm going to have to write that down. Brenda, write that down. That is funny. I may use that in my next blog. That's what we need is some stick-a-to-itiveness. Yeah, thank you. I mean, last week I got Carlton with the G factor. Hey, I've had about five or six emails on the G factor and the S factor. It is, there's guy, I forgot his name, Kevin, I think, or Keith, wrote me, and so I've got to answer him back, but it was a long email. I couldn't do it on my iPhone, so, I mean, it's like five paragraphs. Yeah, the G factor and the S factor is up on the web, so you can go there, but, let me tell you, more emails have come in over that one than just about any of them, which is kind of funny. What did I say? Oh, back to Romans 12. Yes. Thank you. So, verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ and every member one of another. And I would definitely put Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16 there. I would definitely do that. You definitely want to have a Bible pen here. Ephesians 4, verse 16. So, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts. You know, if you want to teach, we have Sunday school to start you out at. I mean, we'd encourage you to teach. The reason Terry's in there, he says, I'll teach. Okay. You know, now, that's important. Brenda used to keep the nursery till she said it wasn't her ministry anymore. She quit and so did the babies. All our babies grew up. Just, you know what? I just hope your babies don't grow up to be grace preachers. It's bad. It's worse than being a cowboy. I'm joking. I hope they grow up to be grace preachers. On verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Boy, that's important, isn't it? And with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That's what we're talking about this morning. Amen? Your ministry of serving the Lord. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know what I hate worse in business? I hate when I call a plumber or I call a carpenter or an electrician. Doesn't matter. Any of those things. And they say, Mr. Hampton, I'll be there at 10 o'clock. And they show up at 11. That bothers me. Now, I don't mind them coming at 11. I would have just been ready for them at 11. I didn't make them say, well, I'm going to show up at church. And they lie and they don't come to church. That bothers me. I mean, they could say, I'm not going to your stupid church. That'd be fine with me, okay. But to tell me that as if they're trying to deceive me or something, I think that's wrong. And when people do that in business, and I'm precarious. I used to fire people that were 5 minutes late over a period of time. I'd add it up, and they were 5 to 7 minutes late every week consistently 4 or 5 times. And after a couple months, I'd add up all their lateness when they were supposed to be there at 8 o'clock and they show up at 8:08 or 8:17 or 8:05. And I'd add up and I'd say, well, what time were you supposed to be there? And they said, well, 8 o'clock, but I had this problem that day. Oh, I had this problem. And it was always an excuse. It was never, I can't get there, you know? Well, I said, well, you must not want this job very bad. You need to go look for another piece of work. He said, Mr. Hampton, you're not very lenient. No, I'm not very lenient. That's not one of my gifts. I can assure that. Listen, I'm first to admit it. Stand in line if you want to admit it after me, but I understand. You know what? Your word means everything. You know, you can't keep your word. You're probably not very good at what you do. If you say you're going to do something, then do it. Don't give me excuses. Amen? I mean, you don't have to tell me at 10 o'clock. If you can't make it till 11, 11's fine with me. You understand? Just don't tell me 10 and show up at 11. And it's kind of interesting how people are. Probably worse in construction. I used to work at construction, and I worked on this condo job down in Orange Beach, right next to the Florida Bama, which I don't know anything about. And but it's a little bar right on the beach. No. And they do a lot of beer things there. No. Back in the day. No, I mean, I worked on that condo job, and they were getting close to the end of the job, and they were laying people off because they didn't have another job. And they laid these people off and said, Barry, do you mind working on this crew over here? No. And he told me at the end, he said, you know, I've kept you all this time. You're the only person that shows up on time in this entire crew. And he said, if you want to go back to Mobile, we got another job we'd like to put you on. And we'll even help move you there. I was living in Pensacola at the time. And you know why? I was dependable. You know, like the people that are dependable. They like dependable people. I hope you're dependable people. I hope that you've made an effort of being dependable because it's very important for your testimony. I was always, when I worked for Brother Moore, he said, why are you always 15 minutes early? I said, I never want to be late. Used to show up at Kmart when I was a Kmart manager, 15 minutes early. I'm in there cleaning up and scrubbing the toilet bowls and say, well, you're the manager. Why are you doing that? And said, well, I had 15 minutes before I really started work. I thought I'd get something done. Because I treated my boss just like it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about my boss as the Lord Jesus Christ, and God would have you to do that. Go, if you will, to Colossians. Let me get it here. Go to Colossians chapter 3. See, I don't believe that you ought to just show up at work. I believe that when you're at work, you ought to be the best example of God's grace. You know what? You're representing Grace Bible Church. When you say, I go to Grace Bible Church, they're seeing how dependable you are and what you are. You don't think that's a big deal? It's a big deal. Trust me. He said this in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your master. That would be like saying your employer. According to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not as your boss, but as to who? Man, when that boss tells you to do something, say, man, I can't wait to do that. I've got an attitude. I want to please you. You're my boss. You're my employer. You're putting money into my pocket. I want to be pleasing unto you. Now, that's a great ministry. I can't stand people that are late. They don't take their ministry. Hey, you know, they don't take it very, very serious. Amen? You ought to be an example of God's grace. When you go into work, they ought to say, what's wrong with that person? You know, and they say, man, you're always cheerful. You know why? I've been saved by the blood of Christ. I'm not walking. Hey, you know what? You may not like me, but I'm not going to hell. People really don't like people that are good. Trust me. What does he mean? Servants, obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service. I had this guy one time at Kmart. I'm just telling you how people are. And it was a Mexican guy. He could have been white. I don't care. It was just a Mexican guy. Went to work for me. And he had figured this thing out by holding onto a broom. He was the best broom holder I've ever had. And he would sit there and he would talk with the girls. And he didn't realize that in Kmart, if you'll look around, there's cameras all the way around you. And then there's little holes, dark window-like things up there. And we have our loss prevention guy up there shooting film 24/7 at different windows. And now they've got it monitored where he's in a room and sees all the cameras at one time. And we had this employee, I'm not kidding you, for 8 hours would hold onto this broom, and when the manager came by, he'd start sweeping like a maniac. That manager passed, back up. And so I called him in. This is a true story. I called him in and said, we're going to have to let you go, Rodriguez. He said, why? I work very hard, you know, and I'm like, it's that you don't work when you're working. And so he sued us. And I brought those videotapes in. And out of an 8 hour a day, he would work about an hour and a half. The rest of the time he was holding that broom. And it went on for about a week. And we had all the film. And I said, Judge, we've got more film just like this if you need it. Because we'd have to show up in court, defend ourselves. And that judge says, you know what? You need to learn to work, son. He had the right to fire you. You know? One of my best employees was a Chinese girl. She worked harder than anybody I'd ever seen in my life. Now, honestly, she showed up on time. She never argued with me. If I said, move this aisle over to that aisle, she'd switch it all up for me. She never argued, ever. One day I was walking through the warehouse and I noticed a box filled with a brand new cashmere jacket. I thought, this is the brand new jacket. Wonder what it's doing back here. I said, I'm just going to write inside the sleeve the date that I found this. And I watched it every day. I'd go by and watch it. It was there, there. About a month, it just sat there. That's very interesting. And as it turned off cool, this girl put it on, tore the tags off, and put it on this young Chinese girl. I was at the checkout, and I can tell you my heart sunk down to my stomach. She stepped out of the store. I said, "Can I see your receipt?" She said, "Oh, yes." And she said, "What are you looking for?" I said, "Did you pay for the jacket?" "Oh, no, 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 this is my jacket." I said, "Really?" And she didn't know I'd written on that sleeve, and I rolled that sleeve up, and there was that number and the date I found it. And I said, "See this? I marked this. She's one of my very best employees." And I sent her to jail for stealing. Some people say, "Well, you should have given her a break." She was stealing from the company. It's not okay. I was the least popular manager of all. I was. I know, you know, Sterling knows what I'm talking about in auto parts. People steal you blind. It broke my heart. But had that been the Lord Jesus Christ's story, you know, I'd have looked at it just as hard as I looked at it as it was Kmart. I didn't think, "Well, this is Kmart." I looked at it like it was the Lord's. I believe that's important in the ministry. Whatever your ministry is, I believe that's what you've got to do. You've got to do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men with men pleasers. You know what? I don't give a stink if you try to please me. Do you know what you ought to want 100% in your life? You ought to want to please the Lord. Amen. There ought to be, if you're saved here this morning, or you listen on the internet and you're saved this morning and you've got a heart to want to serve the Lord, let me tell you what, you ought to treat your bosses like they're the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what, you'll get promoted. And I'm out of time, but I do want to come back and finish this sermon up on your ministry. I believe it's important. So y'all join us back in 15 minutes.